guess the medicine of sex parties and temple parties. So for those of you that don't know what a sex party or a temple party is, it is a sacred space where sexuality is welcomed, and it can be anywhere from being very very sensual and not having any sexual penetration in the space, or it can go anywhere from having penetration in the space and so on. You're listening to the Femme Codes podcast, a sacred space for your erotic embodiment and sensual empowerment. Here I share the codes for leading radical women into their highest expressions of self, into leading turned on, orgasmic lives. Hello and welcome to the first episode for 2023 on the Femme Codes podcast. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What a journey this last year was. This episode is going to be a little bit of a drop-in around the lessons that I learned in 2022. All things around relationships, sex, pleasure, intimacy, community, and my own medicine journey within these spaces. So there's a lot of juice in this episode. There are a lot of vulnerable shares. There is a lot of really laying my heart on the altar of love for the best service that I can contribute. And I wanted to go through the lessons and the blessings that I received from this past year of being, because it was such an impactful, wild, cathartic, very much a death portal, actually. When I say death portal, I mean a portal of dying, right? Laying death to that which no longer serves, really going deep into the shadows and deep into the darkness so that we can liberate and become more alive, more embodied, more in our power. The death portal is essentially a space where we drop into when we're ready to transform, and it is often the space before the rebirth. The rebirth is when we have gone into the death, we've allowed ourselves to decay, to go under the ground and to really die, to lay to rest all the things that we no longer want to hold in our space, the patterns, the habits, the relationship dynamics that don't serve the highest good, the unhealthy habits, right? So the death portal is the space where we're very much being shown our shadows and where we lack integrity with our highest alignment and truth, or we're being shown where we are out of alignment, essentially, in our relationships, in our sex life, in our service to the world, in our everyday being, in expressing our truth or our voice, or where we aren't expressing our truth or our voice. So the year of 2022 was the year of dying, and it was a pretty intense journey for myself. So in this episode, I'm going to drop into the lessons. And I'll start with what I learned around sexuality, what lessons I pulled from the realm of sex. So first of all, yum, the most delicious topic to start off with. And what I really learned is that desire styles really shift within us. And specifically my desire style, my erotic template, and some may refer to these as the erotic blueprints, is another word for them. But my erotic template definitely changed in this past year. So I used to be a very sensually based person. And for those of you that don't know the erotic blueprints, you can search this up via Jaya. So Miss Jaya is her name on Instagram, and she shares a lot about the erotic blueprints. Well, she created them. So she came up with this methodology, this template, this teaching around the ways that we experience our erotic energy and our erotic essence. And there are about 5 different blueprints, and that's a great place to go if you wish to learn about them. So specifically, my erotic template shifted from being very sensually based, meaning being primarily based around the senses, For example, I would really need to have oil and massages to get warmed up before having sex, or the sensations around my body, so plush soft blankets, silks in the room, the perfect conditioning from the air conditioner, so the perfect temperature in the room, all the creature comforts of a sensual being. And it can also look like spending extra time in foreplay to just be in each other's energy, like touching and really tracing each other's skin and using the lips as a way to tease the body and bring different sensations, and allowing temperature play in as well. So maybe using ice and dripping that down the body as a way to invoke arousal, right? So these are different ways of bringing sexuality into the space. And for me, I went from that into being mainly a shapeshifter. So I went from being primarily sexual and being indulged in the senses and the textures and the feelings and the music and the perfect setting in the room to being like, I want it all. Give it all to me. Let me have it all. And I really believe that this was a result of me experiencing different dynamics in relationships. So being with a different partner who actually acted as a mirror for this to come out. So during this year, instead of being all sensually based, I was really switching between that and also energetic sex and also kinky sex. So playing in the realms of BDSM, playing with spanking, getting choked, tied up, getting ravaged, and really feeling God in the bedroom through that, really feeling myself reach a space of awakening from my body getting fully ravished by love and by my partner at the time. And this has been such a beautiful shift to indulge in, because it's really activated my primal body, so my animalistic body, and the erotic energy that lives there. So the part of me that loves to play fight and loves to get choked and spanked and loves like hard, rough touch and all the rough deliciousness that can come through a real primal fuck. It's really activated that aspect of me. And then I also experienced a lot of more tantric sex in this space. So that was also easy for me to really drop into. So really dropping into eye gazing and being connected through our spirits and going through a real temple night journey where we would drop in and, you know, we would speak the fears, we would speak our desires, we would speak our loves, and we would really drop into a sacred space where we would then have sex and then use our energy to manifest or play with sex magic. That was also another thing that I experienced a lot more of, as in turn to just being purely sensual about 80% of the time, at least. So it's not that I didn't experience these before. It's more so the container that allowed it was just a lot less. So I went from that and then also to being purely sexual. So being turned on, aroused within minutes and just wanting to jump my partner like at that moment. So one of the beauties around being a shapeshifter is that we experience many of the different styles, I believe, is how she teaches it. Personally, I get to experience a lot of these energies, both sensual all the way to kinky, all the way to being sensually activated, all the way to energetic sex and beyond. And that is just one of the beauties of being able to dip into all these different realms. So that was a beautiful awakening for myself, really dropping into a new state of erotic ecstasy through exploring all the different flavors of sex and pleasure that you possibly could experience, and then realizing like, oh wow, I get to dip my fingers in anywhere now, and there is no hindrance to the way that I experience my erotic turn on. And when I say this, I just want to make a disclaimer here that no matter whichever way you get aroused as a woman or a person, no matter which way you experience Eros and the erotic through your body, all of them are equally beautiful and sacred, right? The way that I experience my turn on is going to be different to the way another person experiences their turn on. And it's beautiful because it is unique to each and every one of us individually, right? No one experiences sexuality the same as someone else. Like, there is not one size fits all, and all of them are equally sacred, equally a path to sexual awakening and experiencing the divine through the bedroom, through sex. They all carry their beautiful medicine. So yeah, that's where I was at in terms of shifting from my desire style and being turned on in many different ways. And it was so beautiful to be expanded. I learned that, you know, the rigidity of my one blueprint or my one template was a real beauty to have that go from that and then to have it be experienced as something completely different, which also expanded the way that I saw life and the way that I met my partner and the way that I was able to hold sexual energy in my body, because I got all the yummies of each one. So another lesson that I was able to receive from this past year was the shadows of sexuality, right? So a prominent shadow that was brought up to me was the way in which we use sex as a collective to get love when we are in unhealthy dynamics or we are in an unhealthy shadow space in ourselves. So a lot of the times sexuality is equated with intimacy, but that is not true. Intimacy is one of the ways that we experience. I mean, sex is one of the ways that we tend to experience intimacy as sexual humans. It is one of the gateways into creating deeper love, intimacy, connection, being close to our lovers, feeling close to them, feeling safe to them, because you're quite literally, you're one with each other. You're inside of each other. You cannot get more close than sex. So yes, it is one way that we experience intimacy in relationship and lovership. However, intimacy is not just sex. Intimacy is experienced in so many different forms. It is experienced through emotional safety, right? So how we listen to our partners, how we voice our desires and our hurts from a place of non-projection and a place of neutrality, how we reveal our emotions, how we express our needs from a healthy space. Intimacy can come through the safety that is held during those times. Intimacy can come through sharing a mutual shared, mutual shared values and shared desires. So intimacy can come from doing something you love with a partner. It can come from them sharing the same desires to go to the gym and work out, or to go climb a mountain or go hiking or to have tantric sex or to go swim in the ocean and do diving or go to ecstatic dance and have cacao ceremonies and merge with spirit together, right? It can range so far and so vast, and intimacy can come through those things being shared. Intimacy can come through play, so silliness, playfulness, that, you know, booty smack in the middle of the morning, or that play fight at sunset and pouncing on your partner and play fighting with them. Intimacy can come through so many different avenues, but ultimately emotional safety, shared values, recognizing and meeting needs from a healthy space, and being each other's safe haven. Intimacy is both emotional and sexual, and I love the sort of breaking down of the word intimacy. Intimacy, I see. Into me, I see. Intimacy. I messed it up a little bit at the start, but essentially it's into me, I see. And I think that is a beautiful reflection of it all starts from us and, you know, how we see the world, our perception, how we give in the world, how much our heart is open. It becomes a reflection in the mirror to receive. And intimacy is that interweaving of coming closer into connectedness through mutual recognition and resonance of each other and coming closer together rather than further away. It's weaved in the in-between. It's that repairing the rupture after a moment of conflict or having a disagreement or feeling a trigger come up in your body or a contraction in your heart. It is the way that you meet each other in love rather than resentment. It is the way you meet yourself in every moment. And we can sort of categorize it into, you've got physical intimacy, you have emotional intimacy, you have intellectual intimacy, you have sexual intimacy, we have spiritual intimacy. There are all different realms in which intimacy can be cultivated. Communicative intimacy, even. So when we don't actually have our basic needs met, so to go into a space of union, to have our basic needs met is a must. Otherwise, we are too focused on being in the survival body, the primal body. Therefore, we cannot go to the higher states of divinity, which also include the higher state of union. Union is divine. And when we are too focused on surviving, getting the needs met, whether, you know, they love us or not, right? According to the inner child in us, which is often always grasping for love when it is unhealed, when it is in its wounded state. It is constantly there grasping for love. And almost everyone will have their inner child come up in relationship. I don't believe there is a single person on this planet with a completely healed inner child who needs no love from anyone. However, we can go to more secure states of relating rather than being insecure or avoidant or anxiously attached, which is from the attachment theory by Diane Poole Heller, I think is one of the teachers of this. And the attachment theory is based around, you know, how we attach to our caregivers is how we also attach to our partners. And the degree to which that attachment lives is the degree to which we have felt safe and secure in childhood. And then, you know, whether we have worked on healing and liberating those attachments and those wounds, or whether they have stayed lurking in the shadows and have stayed in maybe a trauma response state or an insecure state of being. Again, all comes with the humanness of being alive and being a planet and person on this planet. So circling back to the intimacy, right? A lot of this intimacy comes from actually feeling safe with our partner and feeling like we are fully accepted, feeling like we are fully connected. We are in a space of divine reverence of each other where we see the God and the Goddess within our partners. And when we don't have this safety, when we have some sort of dissonance or discord within our intimate relating, oftentimes we can use sex as a way to either manipulate, as a way to get love, as a way to access intimacy. And there's nothing wrong with this. There isn't anything inherently bad about this, right? It just makes us human. But I will say there are healthier ways to access intimacy and love. So one of the shadows that was revealed was, you know, this form of desiring closeness and then using sex to get that closeness. And realizing when we are doing that, what we can actually do instead may be to establish emotional safety or emotional regulation with our partners, to have a different form of intimacy, which may come in the form of sharing physical touch and not having to have sex. So many times we think that physical touch has to lead to having sex, and that's just simply not true. So it may be that, or it may look like sharing a really loved activity that you love doing together, or it may look like just listening to each other's fears and holding them in safety, not judging, but just holding a space where those fears and their desires are able to be voiced into the space. Or maybe it's listening to them when they have something that has come up for them. And when they're revealing this hurt or this trigger or this this sense of pain in their being, maybe just listening to that and holding a safe space for that. So intimacy can be established in many other ways, and not all of them require us to have sex. And a lot of the times, sex just acts as a band-aid and doesn't actually get to the deeper root of the problem. When we are using it unconsciously to get love, although, you know, it is one of the most beautiful ways to drop into a space of intimacy, to connect with a beloved, to really drop into eroticism and reach God, connect with Source together as one. There is, you know, both its shadow side and its light side. I am a huge advocate for, you know, the depth and creating more polarity, love, intimacy within our sexual lives and the bedroom. I have found it to be my most liberating path yet. And yeah, it does have both shadow it's and its light side. So it's just to be aware of that and notice, you know, where can we liberate sex rather than keeping in the shadow state of us. So this then leads me to creating intimacy with self as the antidote. So we can use all these ways to create deeper intimacy in a partnership and in the bedroom. And yet, one of the most beautiful ways we can also cultivate intimacy and that safety is to do it with ourselves first and foremost. So noticing where is the need, where is the fear, where is the sensation in the body, and then meeting that ourselves. This is establishing that secure attachment with ourselves before we then go into that moment of relating with another and expecting them to meet all the needs, which there is a level to, because we are human beings that connect and we have attachment styles and we relate as a tribe just by being a human being on this planet. So there is a level to our interdependence, and that too can be a profound space of liberation. Something such as a masculine partner holding a safe space for the feminine and, you know, telling her to bring her wild sacred slut in a world that has told her to shut that down can be one of the most healing and liberating things for her. And yet we need both of us in that space to do that. We need both masculine and feminine. We need that space of interdependence. So healing can be done on self, but it can also be activated and liberated in the space of intimate partnership. So the third lesson that I learned during this past year is around just the medicine of sex parties and temple parties. So for those of you that don't know what a sex party or a temple party is, it is a sacred space where sexuality is welcomed, and it can be anywhere from being very sensual and not having any sexual penetration in the space, or it can go anywhere from having penetration in the space and so on. So these spaces are very awakening to the sacredness of erotic energy, and it really opens you up, especially if you've had a space of feeling shame around your sexuality, or you were taught to fear your sexuality. And I'd just like to side note, if you have experienced, and a possible trigger warning here, if you have experienced sexual abuse, or you suffer from PTSD, or you have deep wounding around this area, I do recommend, you know, working with someone to heal this and come back to that point of safety so you feel rooted in your body before you decide to go to, or, you know, choose to go to one of these spaces. If this sort of part of the podcast does call out to you, that's just the only disclaimer that I would say. For myself, I have experienced so much awakening and perception stretching and new facets of self from witnessing others in, you know, their erotic expression and their pleasure and being witness to that. It has been really profoundly activating in my own body to see the erotic as innocent and to see sexuality as this beautiful way to experience the divine. For myself, this has been one of the most beautiful places and safe, consensual places to explore the erotic with others. And in these temples, which I believe come through my own energetic alignment and discernment to which spaces I choose to enter as a liberated woman, it really teaches you your boundaries, and it really shows you, you know, how to stay anchored in your truth and your center, because in that space, it is very vulnerable, of course, to be in a space like that. And you need to know yourself enough so you can say yes and you can say no to that of what you do desire and that of which you don't desire. So owning your sacred no, owning the sacred yes. And sex parties were a great place for me to play with this and really feel into energetically whether I even wish to share myself in those spaces in any shape, way, or form, whether I was in a monogamous partnership or I wasn't in a monogamous partnership, whether I desired to be seen in my expression or whether I decided to just, you know, sit back and just be, or just have, you know, some space connecting with a friend of mine instead. So that was the realm of sex for 2022. Now, in terms of pleasure, One of the lessons I pulled from 2022 was slowing the fuck down to feel the pain so that we can feel more pleasure. So the path of sexual awakening involves us really meeting the deepest, darkest shadows of self. When you are in a space and you're not really attuning to the parts of you that have been suppressed or rejected or have held pain or have held trauma in the body, because our nervous systems carry a really deep wisdom in, you know, how we meet ourselves. Our nervous systems carry the imprints and the memory lines and the stored experiences and the stored sticky experiences, which then influence the way that we act sexually, then influence the way that we experience pleasure. It influences the way that we use our voice in the world, or we don't use our voice, or are afraid to be fully us, because the body is holding that stored heavy energy. So when we slow down to really feel these, and I have a practice that is called pain to pleasure. This is a way of liberating our shadows, our darkness, our stickiness, our pain, and alchemizing that, creating an experience of alchemy, so transforming that energy into pleasure. And when we do this continually, we start to really liberate the weight of the trauma body, the weight of the body itself, and we start to feel lighter in our pleasure and our sensuality. We start to feel more sensation in the pussy. We start to feel more aliveness in our heart space. The body on all levels starts to open a little bit more. So many times women will enter this space and be like, holy fuck, you know, I never knew that this part of me existed, more so because it had been cloaked in shame or in fear or in a traumatic energy. So the darkness and the shadow coming to a space of stillness just enough so that we can access these points in the body. And this year was a shadow journey. So there was no way in hell I could have run away from what I experienced, and I experienced everything from being brought up in my deepest relational wounds and feeling not good enough, to then also feeling the absolute grief of heartbreak, and then also having to face some abandonment wounds, all the things that come up during a breakup. It was journeying with that, and then also remembering my power, not getting stuck in that cycle and coming back to my liberated center, coming back to my feminine queendom, the aliveness in me, the truth in me, my power, my potency, my center. And then I would journey into the shadow again. Then it was coming back to the center again. So it was a continuous oscillation. And I believe that is the dance of life between dark and light. We are continuously oscillating between shadow, liberation, coming back to center. And each time we meet a new part of us, the more free we become in our bodies. And being able to sit with this allowed me to alchemize and essentially upward spiral rather than downward spiral. The more we meet ourselves in the parts of us that we don't want to meet ourselves in, because they're often uncomfortable, the more we liberate our energies. And by liberate, I mean heal ourselves of the things that hold us back from being fully expressed, turned on, ecstatic, wet, wildly alive women. The more we meet more of God in our body, and the more we experience more of the ecstasy of life, essentially. The path to pleasure is one of meeting ecstasy. So another lesson, fourth lesson, is in community, right? The soul family, creating abundance, where we feel the most supported in community ripples out into where we feel like we can support the most in our communities. Meaning, the more I created aligned friendships and friendships that really felt, you know, turned me on, got me going, expanded me, where I could have deep soul chats with sisters and just feel like I am on another plane and still feel so in my power. And even so more in my power, rather than being around energetics that didn't fully serve. What I pulled from this is that we need this. You know, we live in a world where tribe is needed, community is needed. We flourish and we thrive as a community, right? You can have one person carrying something for the world, But when you have 100 people carrying that something for the world, carrying that liberation, carrying that soul purpose, that dharma, that higher perspective, right? You can have one person singing a mantra, chanting, embodying the energy of Saraswati, the goddess in the Hindu tradition, right? You could have that. But then when a whole room full of people channel that and chant that energy, her power is magnified tenfold. That is the power of tribe, right? That is the power of really leaning on each other. And as a collective, we all carry a collective consciousness. So the more reflection and the more we hold each other accountable, the more that we rise up in love together, the more impact that we can actually create. So that's one thing I have learned, is that I don't have to do it all alone. And it feels fucking good to lean on people. It feels good to receive support. It feels good to feel ecstatic and at home in my expression around others, because I have chosen the women and the people that support me where I'm at, because I have chosen the human beings that are in alignment with my truth and are on the path to becoming. And on that path to becoming, we liberate each other. So I've been meeting a lot of and creating a lot of new friendships this past year that have held the values close to my heart around safety, around liberation, around sexual freedom, around creating safe intimacy, and around speaking our truths, calling each other forward into our highest power, and sensual sisterhood. So experiencing pleasure and sensuality with sisters, and that is a space where erotic innocence lies. There is so much conditioning around the erotic and our sensual energy and where and should that should be shared. And, you know, whichever feels alive to you, do that. But for me personally, to experience sensuality with sisters has been such an awakening. To experience us all in our eros, in our feeling bodies, in our pleasure together as a way to awaken the feminine has been one of the most liberating expressions and liberating paths. And now for the last realm of this podcast in terms of the lessons of this past year. Relationships. Oof, this one was the biggest death portal of all. This one was such a medicine teacher for myself. I had journeyed in and out of darkness and light constantly over and over and over again, going into separation, coming back into union, going into separation and returning again. And there are many quotes that say, you know, the path of relationship or committed partnership is one of the highest paths to awakening, because there is not much you can hide when you are in an intimate relationship. You have a mirror that is perfectly chosen just for you. And in that space, your wounds, your shadows, your fears, your resentments, your emotional body, your insecurities, all of it will come up and it will be brought to the altar of love to be liberated. Now, the difference here is whether there is safety or not in those spaces. If there is no safety, then we have, I would say, more of a chance of creating more shadow, more perpetual trauma dynamics and spaces that aren't safe, compared to if there is an awareness and consciousness to grow together and evolve together and come back to love, and creating safe spaces where both people can really liberate through anything that holds them back from the highest love. When there is safety, we can get deeper into that space. We can get deeper into the point of union and we can become one and merge our souls without so much hindrance. Or at least if there is hindrance, there is the way of repair to move through those portals and come closer into love. So one of the lessons that I would love to reflect to everyone listening as well, and one of the lessons that I pulled, was really vetting your partners before jumping into a relationship with them. So this means, you know, really checking in your values, your shared desires. You know, is your life vision the same? Do you have the same values? You know, are they able to meet your needs? What are your non-negotiable values, and what are your negotiable values? You know, like, what are the things that you're just absolutely not willing to settle on? For example, for me, it's someone who if they smoke, like that's a non-negotiable for me. I can't date people who smoke. It's not in my highest truth. Or if they drink a lot, or if they don't have a personal practice, or someone who is not interested in practicing the path of Tantra because that is my life path. So for me, these are non-negotiables. People who don't honor their bodies or aren't interested in eating healthily and nourishing their vessels with high vibrational foods and nourishment. So for those, they would be a non-negotiable. Negotiables might be like, you know, my preferences. For example, you know, like I would like if they would love the ocean, or I would like if they would love to travel, or I would like if they would love to blah 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 blah. It's an example I can give. If they were interested in sustainability, something like that, right? A preference, but not a non-negotiable. I believe that we need to have a foundation so that when we get into a relationship. Oh, and another non-negotiable would be like committed to self-development and committed to, you know, really looking at themselves, because the space of relationship needs to be a safe one. So vetting someone before jumping into a relationship with them is very, very important and often can save us a lot of pain in the long run. If we are sharing aligned values and we have a shared aligned life path or vision, you know, there is more of a chance for us to create a sustainable relationship and union from that. And when we don't do this, well, we get slapped in the face and we're like, well, why isn't it working? And simply the answer to that is it's sometimes just not compatible. So another lesson is our soul consents to the dynamics that we live in. So if you are in any kind of dynamic that brings up your shit, right, that reflects to you your pain or your insecurity or your jealousy or your feelings of not being enough, your soul consents to that. And it is there for a higher reason. So we have two paths here. We can either choose to go into victim mentality of, oh, why me? Why is this happening to me? And choosing to play victim, or completely bypassing that and blaming the other person. And, you know, there is a level to this, of course, like obviously people can do things intentionally, or our partners can do things intentionally that may not be of the highest good. But, you know, a lot of the time it is our own stuff that can be coming up in these spaces. So we consent to the dynamics that we're in, and we have a choice to either stay in victim mode or to liberate them, or to pull the blessings and the lessons from them. So that's another lesson that I learned. And another one is the feminine is the teacher oracle, and she is the intuitive guidance towards the masculine. The feminine in many teachings shows us that she can see the unseen. Her body is the guide. Her point of being is a reflection for the masculine to be informed on the next steps. And that reflection can assist him in his purpose, in their union, in growing and evolving together as a union, in a partnership. When the feminine intuition is honored, there is a big medicine in that. And there is a distinction here, because we see a lot in community is our women or people with pussies, and they tend to give their intuition, I guess, this highlight, when really sometimes it's a projection. So for example, they could, you know, be in a state of shadow, and they could really be like, you know, using an unhealthy way to express a desire maybe, or emasculating their partner, but then being like, it's my intuition. Or they could be expressing hurt and projecting and blaming their partner, but at the same time being like, my intuition tells me that. So there are many ways that the feminine can, I guess, abuse her, like her way of speaking about her intuition and expressing that. But then the intuition itself is really the teacher oracle when we are tuned in and it comes from a healthy space. So learning to trust and discern is one of the biggest codes for this. So learning when you are actually in a point of intuition, when the body is a full yes and it's telling you where to go, versus when you're acting from fear. And the way that I discern this is that when it is my intuition, it's usually a clear go ahead. When it's not my intuition, it's usually cloaked in a emotional charge. So there's a lot of emotion behind it. And this is different to feeling, right? So this will often be a different experience to just simply feeling something and knowing, like the deep, deep feminine knowing. And this often originates from, you know, our pussies and our third eye and our wombs are often great places where the feminine intuition originates and expresses from. So another lesson, and the last lesson that I'd like to bring, is desires, voicing your desires, and the importance of knowing your desires. They are a portal into us experiencing the highest timeline of God and experiencing the highest timeline of life, the most ecstatic state of living. Without desires, we have no direction, we have no mirror to where we really want to go, and we have no invitation to the divine to meet us. We also have no invitation for our partner to meet us, especially in a sexual moment. If we have no idea what our desires are sexually, then we don't actually have any way to fully claim and own and invite our partners into that space with us. Voicing desires are a way of reclaiming ownership over your being and your throat chakra, your voice. Voicing your desires is one of the fastest ways that you can liberate yourself, because you're choosing to own that of which you are passionate about, that of which you love, and that of which you want to experience more of. When we latch down, choke down, and suppress our desires, we are actually suppressing the full meaning of the divine. We are suppressing the full meaning of spirit through us. This is an easy way to really not experience a full spectrum of life that we desire. And how many times have women suppressed their desires in history? We are in an era where we have the opportunity to be the voice, to express the voice, to be the woman who claims it all and goes for it and says, fuck yes, that is mine and I choose that. We've gone through the witch trials, we've gone through the burning, so of course there is fear in expressing desires. Of course we have it in our lineage, our ancestral bloodlines, of the memories of the pain and the trauma that we have experienced. The witches, right? They would speak up and their magic would also be vilified. So of course there is this huge history where women have been persecuted for being in their truth. And this is the invitation to take it back. This is the invitation to own your desire, know what you desire, and speak that with full conviction and knowing that it is ready to meet you if you are ready to receive it. If you desire more pleasure, own it. If you desire more kinky sex, ask for it, own it. Practice it, play, get tied up, or, you know, tie up your partner. There is so much possibility open, but without us really claiming going into the world and doing that, owning it, then there is no landing point for that desire and then for spirit to manifest into that desire. The same goes for serving our people, you know, for all my medicine women, my leaders, my coaches, my healers. When we are not offering our gifts to the world, there is no one to serve. When we are not offering our service to the world, it reaches no one. You have to go out, put that shit on the platform, and let it fucking ripple out and do its magic and do its healing, do its medicine. Without that, we have a woman and a society where we are too afraid to really own what we want. And then as a result, we serve less people. As a result, we make less impact. As a result, we heal less. As a result, we live less of a turned on life, and then everyone around us feels it, right? A woman that is turned off, she is felt. Her partner feels it. Her partner feels the lack of sensation and aliveness in her body, the lack of love in her body. She feels it. She feels the lack of aliveness in her body. A woman that is turned off is not living in her highest alignment, but a woman who is turned on is living her highest ecstasy. So I'll leave it there. That was, I guess, a quick summary of the lessons. I just said blessings and lessons at the same time. Blessings. Let's make that a word, blessings. BLESSONS. Yes, that's happening today. Blessings of 2022. It has been a medicine teacher year. If you have experienced your own medicine journey, I would love to hear about it. You know, I'm on Instagram and I love when you guys reach out and send messages. I love having chats with you on the DMs. And I just want to thank you all for being in this space throughout 2022, supporting this podcast and the messages that it shares. We have a really big lineup for 23 and there will be lots of beautiful collaborations with lots of powerful human beings coming into this space. So get ready to dive in and play in that realm. And as usual, if you've loved this podcast and would love to leave a positive review, you can do this on the iTunes website. This helps me reach more women all over the planet and men so that we can live lives in more liberation, epic sex, and pleasure.